You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aaron Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, we watched the Dodgers for over 3.5 hours again, and it did not result in a win again.
Yeah, I am ready to be done with that particular aspect of watching Dodger games.
Yeah, definitely ready to be done with that. Definitely ready to get out of Miami. They got one more, which is probably happening maybe before you listen to this episode, or maybe after. The game might be already on if you listen to this episode. But regardless, Dodgers got one more in Miami, then come home, and then All-Star break, which at this point seems much needed based on some news we got. We're going to get into that news, which is Clayton Kershaw going on the injured list. We'll get into just the game in general. We'll get into Austin Barnes and maybe talk a little bit about Mookie Betts. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. When you get in your car or if you're at home, here's my device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so Dodgers lost via walk-off once again. They scored 5 runs in the third inning and then didn't score again until the ninth inning when Zach McKinstry hit a game-tying home run and then lost it in the bottom of the ninth when Aguilar hit a walk-off home run off Edwin Uceda. It was a bullpen game. It was their worst bullpen game so far. They hadn't yet allowed more than 3 runs, I believe, in a bullpen game. And they allowed, it ended up being, 9 in this one? So, yeah, just not great. It seemed to be a matter of just maybe fatigue and Mitch White and Edwin Uceda not being as good as maybe the Dodgers would have hoped, and just a mismatch of a lot of bad things that happened, and it resulted in another ugly loss.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't so much the bullpen game as the culmination of a lot of bullpen games and even games that weren't bullpen games, but they had to use the bullpen more than they would have liked. And so you ended up with a bullpen game where some of your best relievers were unavailable, and that's not the ideal way to go into a bullpen game. And so, you know, where they might have used Blake Treinen, they had to bring in Kenley Jansen in the eighth inning. Where they might use Kenley Jansen, they had to bring in Edwin Uceda. Where they might have used, you know, a lot of different guys, they used Jake Reed and the guy you said, Mitch White, it was just a culmination of things. And the offense looked good at times. Like you said, that when they scored 5 runs in the inning, it was a really good inning. And you thought, okay, good. You know, that put them up 5-2, came back from a 2-run deficit. We thought, okay, this will be okay. They might have to slug their way to winning this one, but they'll be all right. And then the bats went cold again for the most part. And, defense let them down a little bit again. Justin Turner after the game said the Marlins are basically jumping on every mistake they make and making them pay for it. And that's basically what it is. And obviously in a perfect world, they wouldn't make so many mistakes. But a lot of the time, even when you make these mistakes, you get away with some of them. You know, teams don't always capitalize on every mistake you make. And it seems like the last 3 days, the Marlins have capitalized on every mistake. And it's frustrating to watch.
Offensively, it was frustrating as well. Like I said, they got the 5 runs. They looked good there. But the Marlins were in a similar boat as the Dodgers, where they had used some of their best relievers the game before. Dylan Floro, Yimi Garcia didn't pitch in this game. And the Dodgers offense just wasn't able to do anything. And after that third inning, the Marlins offense was interesting because they scored at 1 run in, 6 different innings before the ninth inning. So they scored in 7 different innings. So it was... You know, not one of those games where a bunch of mistakes led to a cluster of runs like we've seen the last couple of days. It was the Marlins just tacked on runs here and there, and the Dodgers weren't able to keep up offensively, and then, you know, kind of blew up in their face at the end. And Yeah, it's annoying. It's frustrating. You know, the 9-game winning streak kind of gets lost in perspective now because it was bookended by now a 4-game losing streak, and that, well, a 4-game losing streak before and a 3-game losing streak now. It goes from 9-game winning streak to 9-7 in the last 16, which is not as impressive. So we'll see what happens in regards to today's game. Julio Urias will be pitching, so hopefully they really need some length out of him because of what we're going to talk about in the next segment, which is Clayton Kershaw going on the injured list. But yeah, Jeff, I mean, it's just been a sloppy series so far, which is, I saw someone say that maybe the Dodgers struggle with dynamic teams like the Padres and Marlins. They handled the Marlins the first two games back in LA, and then they just lost the bullpen game, I believe, in the third game. And then this series has just been a mess. I don't know if that's the case, but obviously the Marlins, Joe Davis broke it down at one point in the game where they had 4 errors this series, 6 stolen bases allowed, just, you know, a lot of bad baseball happening. And maybe they're just getting it out before the All-Star break. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Dodgers are doing a really good job of finding ways to lose. It's really easy to look at a particular game and decide this is their problem. But, you know, it's been a lot of different things, and it's been different things on different days. So that whole dynamic thing, yeah, I mean, obviously, we've talked about it here. It would be nice if the Dodgers were better at not letting people steal bases. But I think the Marlins only had 1 stolen base today. And, you know, that wasn't necessarily the problem, although maybe there were 2, actually, because the guy stole third base, too. So, you know, I mean, it's not ideal, but I think overall, what's happening right now is the Dodgers are in a little slump, on a little losing streak. And I think if you try to draw any grand conclusions from any 3-game stretch, chances are you're either going to be wrong or accidentally right, and right for the wrong reasons, which is almost as bad as being wrong. You know, I think what's happening right now is the Dodgers have sucked the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's plain and simple what it is. There's no real reason for us to get too deep into it. They do have a lot of issues on the team right now because of injuries and other things, which we will get into in a little bit. But, yeah, right now they're just playing bad. Hopefully they can just salvage, win the 1 game, and get back home and play one of the worst teams in baseball in the D-backs and head into the All-Star break and get some rest. We're going to come back and talk about Clayton Kershaw and what a potential injury could mean again to the starting rotation, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. If you know someone that chews or if you chew, then you should definitely transition into Fully Loaded Chew. It tastes and feels just like traditional smokeless products, which made it an easy transition away from traditional tobacco smokeless products. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. And right now, Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Dodgers listeners a special offer. You can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. $1 in free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts your car will need. Why endure going to a store, asking questions, and end up just ordering the piece online like you could with Rock Auto without having to do all that? You have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So save time and money with using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Jeff, so we got the news that Clayton Kershaw is going on the injured list with left forearm inflammation. We ended up finding out after the game that he felt it playing catch a couple days ago. He felt something in his elbow. Not the thing you want to hear. The Dodgers did say they're trying to get ahead of it, and he will get tested when they get back to Los Angeles. Without much information, though, Jeff. Are you worried, concerned, or what are you thinking about Kershaw?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't know what to think. I don't know how concerned to be because we don't have any information. And so I'm got my fingers crossed that this is just, okay, he's going to take a week and a half off and he's going to be just fine. But anytime somebody, especially, you know, your favorite player of all time goes on the injured list with elbow issues, it is concerning. And I don't know what to think, honestly, because I'm just hoping that it's something small. I do think back to 2016 when Kershaw went on the injured list and the Dodgers just dominated without him. A lot of people thought that that was going to be kind of the end for them, and then they did even better without him than they had with him. Obviously, they had guys to fill his spot in the rotation back then, and they don't necessarily right now. So it's not quite the same, but I do believe that the Dodgers have enough talent to survive this without him. I'm more concerned for Kershaw himself. Just, you know, like I've talked about before, I've got this double passion when it comes to Kershaw, because obviously I want the Dodgers to do well, but I also, Kershaw is my favorite player of all time. And so I really care about his performance. And so all in all, it definitely messed up my afternoon to find out that Kershaw was on the injured list.
Yeah, it's just the unknown is always scary. You know, it could be nothing. It could be something really big. So it's scary to not know what it is. The fact that they didn't fly him back right away and get tested like Wednesday or Thursday is maybe a little bit less concerning. But moving on, you know, he is going to miss time. They are going to have to throw another bullpen game on Friday. The guy that will be the bulk guy in that game is David Price. And now Dave Roberts admits that the idea of stretching out David Price might be something that needs to happen. Obviously, with the Trevor Bauer stuff going on, don't expect him back. With Kershaw injured, the Dodgers now only have three starting pitchers that are healthy. And one of those is Tony Gonsolin, who are not entirely sure what he's going to give you every 5 days. So it's a matter of they got to do something. David Price stretching out. Although we've talked about how it would be ideal that they wouldn't have to do that and some other people would step up. I think at this point they kind of have to do that until either the Dodgers make a trade or make a signing or decide to call someone up like Andre Jackson or Ryan Pepiot or someone to see what they got and see if they can hang on for like a month until things kind of settle down.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got to figure something out. Obviously, David Price is one of the right answers, but when you need two pitchers, he's only at best half of the solution. I'm sure that Andrew Friedman is already on the phone with different teams that might be sellers. You know, I would still love to see them revisit the idea of Luis Castillo from the Reds. Obviously, I'm on the Max Scherzer train. You know, wouldn't mind seeing a package deal for Castillo and Castellanos from the Reds, and you know, maybe send a different current left fielder, you know, back to the Reds or something. I don't know, you know, but they have to figure something out. And you know, Ryan Pepiot, I actually haven't told you this, Vince. I'm going to break news right here on the podcast. Ryan Pepiot will be our guest on the podcast next week, and he has assured me that even if he's in the Dodgers starting rotation by then, he's not going to big league us. He's going to be on the show no matter what. So, but you know, he's in Double A right now. It's not realistic necessarily to expect Pepiot to come up and dominate in the big leagues. It's not realistic to expect JoJo Gray to come up and dominate, you know. And when you have prospects like that, there's a reason that you call up guys like Jake Reed because instead of those guys, because their long-term development is so important. And so I don't know what we're going to see from these actual prospects. I think we're more likely to see Mike Kickham again than we are to see Josiah Gray, at least right now, especially with Gray coming back from injury. You know, maybe it's David Price and Mike Kickham are the fourth and fifth starters for a little while. I don't know. But it's amazing to me that the Dodgers are, as we're currently talking, only a game out of first place, considering all the crap they've been through.
Yeah, it is, you know, pretty amazing on their end, and this is where the depth is really getting tested. And the year, I mean, we had talked about it before, but we obviously didn't expect injuries and things outside their control to happen this much, because we had talked about their depth getting tested in the sense of on offense, Jock Peterson, Kike Hernandez, they were gone. So you're moving guys up. They didn't necessarily have the guys ready to backfill. There's no guys knocking down the door at AAA right now, or even AA ready to make that leap. We saw those guys. We saw Luke Rayleigh, and we saw Luke Rayleigh. We saw DJ Peters, and there was, you know, not too much there for the Dodgers or not much there to help the Dodgers out. And then pitching wise, Josiah Gray was kind of the only guy that was right there ready to could step in, and he was dealing with injury. He's barely getting, you know, worked up, and it might take him a month to get ready to step in and maybe be part of the Dodgers rotation. So if Kershaw's down for a significant amount of time, that just ups the realization that they need to make a trade. They already do need to make a trade now, but that would even enhance it even more. And, you know, at this point, it is an innings eater type guy who we've talked about before, whether, you know, Anibal Sanchez. I saw Rick Parcello's name in a tweet today. I've seen different names, whatever the case may be. I'm not sure if the Dodgers are avoiding that or at this point if they put out calls like that, but they're getting to the point of desperation when it comes to pitching, and they're not going to be able to trot out bullpen games every 5 days for much longer. So they really have to settle this rotation and make a move. And, you know, obviously the July 31st deadline will force their hand a little bit there, but every team's looking for pitching, so they're going to have to decide, you know, do we really want to give up prospects for a big name guy? Do we really want to give up lower prospects for a lower end guy? You know, the price might be premium. So there's a lot going to happen in the next 3 weeks for the Dodgers and for every other team. And it's just going to be, hopefully Kershaw's fine and then Josiah Gray ends up being okay, and then things get settled. But you got to look kind of at worst case scenario and prepare for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Austin Barnes and a little bit about Mookie Betts. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just MLB. They got NBA, NHL. Well, NHL is now over, so no more NHL. They got UFC, MMA. They got poker. They got horse racing. They got a bunch of different ways to try and win money or make money. They're always having contests. They're always having sign-up bonuses. They got all the news on there. Everything you need is at BetOnline, so go check it out on your laptop or mobile device right now. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, Jeff, Austin Barnes had talked about a lot, but we hadn't talked about this specific thing. He's had 3 catcher's interferences on this road trip. That combined, I believe we had an email you mentioned of why Austin Barnes is even playing. And at this point, the question is, if the defense isn't there, the offense isn't quite there, yeah, why is Austin Barnes here?
Yeah, the email was from Manny. He says, why is Barnes even starting one game? His defense has been terrible. He can't throw anyone out, and he can't hit. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And I responded to him in the email, but, you know, basically the short answer is, well, somebody has to be the backup catcher. And, you know, with the Dodgers needing pitching, having definite trade deadline needs, it seems like Keibert Ruiz is probably going to be one of those big trade chips. And so, unfortunately, that means that Austin Barnes, for now and for the foreseeable future, is the backup catcher. You know, he's still a solid framer. Although his framing numbers this year aren't as good as they've been in the past. Like you said, he has 4 catcher interferences. One of them wasn't legit. The one with Jerickson Profar, that was garbage. But the 3 this week have all just been, you're just straightforward catcher's interferences. And he actually is now tied for the major league lead in catcher's interference with, you have any guesses, Vince?
Grandal?
Yep. Our old friend Yasmani Grandal. And, you know, in a lot of ways that makes sense, because the 2 things that cause catcher's interference. This isn't just catchers forgetting where to put their glove. There's two reasons you get catcher's interference. One is trying to frame the ball. You want to catch the ball out front so that you can control where the umpire sees it. And so it's not any surprise that Grandal and Barnes, two of the best framers in baseball, are also up there in the lead in catcher interference. The other reason that you get a catcher interference is what we saw tonight, when you're trying to get your glove out there to catch it sooner so that you can try to throw a guy out stealing. And so this one tonight, I think, was a direct result of Barnes having a limp noodle for an arm. And so it's like, it's all adding on to it together. I think maybe there's a little bit more pressure because his framing numbers haven't been as good, whether he's conscious of that or not, you know, trying to do more with the framing, trying to do more with the controlling the running game. And it's led to three catcher interferences. And it's just one of those unforced errors that is really, really frustrating as a fan to watch. And it led to probably to the go-ahead run here in tonight's game. Who knows what would have happened without that catcher's interference, but you know, we will never know. And yeah, Austin Barnes isn't bringing much to the table right now. I'm sure he's still good at handling a pitching staff. I'm sure pitchers still like throwing to him, but offensively and defensively, he is basically the epitome of a backup catcher. And you know, maybe needs to be more of a traditional backup catcher who starts three games every 2 weeks.
Yeah, J.O. Davis mentioned on the broadcast that I believe his slugging and OPS is around his 2017 levels, but that's a little bit skewed by the fact that he's not playing much anymore. And then he comes in and pinch hits. He has two pinch hit home runs and has been able to do things here and there. But yeah, when he gets the start, he's not really adding too much value. We've already seen the Dodgers use Will Smith. Well, I mean, he's already playing most of the games, but then he's also catching when the pitchers that didn't throw to him in the postseason last year have been pitching. He's caught for Kershaw. He's caught for Buehler. So they've definitely transitioned him into a full-on backup role. And like I said, it's a matter of it really hinges on Keibert Ruiz. If he gets traded, then obviously Austin Barnes is going to stay back there. If he doesn't get traded, then it's possible the Dodgers could try and bring up Keibert. And I don't know if they'd go to the depths of DFAing Austin Barnes, but at least it would open up something or challenge him. I don't know if that's going to work, but he's not bringing much, and it's not fun to watch when he's in the starting lineup, and you're just kind of hoping. The other thing I haven't noticed, and maybe you can look this up real quick, is he's not even walking anymore, or at least it doesn't feel like he's walking anymore. So that was another value that he had, at least before. If he wasn't hitting, he'd get on base, but then that didn't happen, and now I don't feel like he's getting on base anymore unless he's getting a hit, and he's not getting hits.
Yeah, his walk rate is roughly the same as last year. I think what Joe Davis was saying was that his numbers are similar to last year, not that they're similar to 2017. He's been significantly worse this year than 2017. He's in his fourth straight year of an OPS in the 600s. And, you know, 2017, when he was actually a good hitter, his OPS was 895, had a 408 on base percentage and a 486 slugging. This year is a 681 OPS, 333 on base, 347 slugging. And that's even with the three home runs. I mean, basically the three home runs are the only value he's brought to the table. But if you look at his walk rate is almost identical to last year. It's actually not bad. He has 12.2% walk rate this year. His best was best in any real playing time was 2017, of course, 14.9, but last year was 12.5. So he's roughly the same. His strikeout rate is up from last year. Yeah, but I mean, the big thing is just that he's just not hitting the ball hard. And that's basically what it boils down to. His hard hit percentage is the lowest of his career, 31.3%. Obviously, 2017 was the best at 41.6. So 10% worse. You know, his exit velocity, average exit velocity is 84.5, down from a peak of 88.8. So, you know, it basically everything about Austin Barnes is just a worse hitter than he used to be. I do think he would still have some value to a team like right now, the Braves. if the Braves are still hoping to get back into the National League East, their two catchers right now are Jonathan Lucroy and Kevin Smith. I think Austin Barnes slots in nicely there. So I think that they might be, the Dodgers might be able to find a team that might want Barnes. I don't know if the Braves necessarily, but you know, a team that isn't contending this year, you know, if the Dodgers did want to try to snag a pitcher from somebody, but who was maybe looking for a catcher like Barnes to help guide a young pitching staff or something. I don't know. There might be options to trade him, especially if the Dodgers were willing to eat some of the money. But yeah, like I said, it's hard to see them not trading Keibert Ruiz. And so I guess he's probably just here. Although, you know, if they can figure out a way to get a starting pitcher or two without trading Keibert, and then maybe do trade Barnes for some relief help or something, and just call Keibert up, that helps the team offensively and doesn't hurt them defensively.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Let's move on real quick to Mookie Betts. He talked with the media the other day, and they asked him about his season. You know, last season he said serviceable. This season he said he's been bad. He struck out 3 times the other day. The second time this season, I believe the stat I saw was he's had 9 3 strikeout games in his career, and 2 have been this season. We know he hasn't quite been up to Mookie Betts standards. He's still been good enough. He still made the All-Star team. But when he comes to the plate in key situations, I don't feel very much confidence like I should that Mookie Betts is at the plate. I don't know if you feel the same way, but he just doesn't inspire too much confidence at the plate right now. And I feel like a lot of his stuff has been sporadic or, yeah, sporadic, I guess, is the best word.
Yeah, he's not inspiring a lot of confidence necessarily. I still have hope when he comes up because he does show flashes. And, you know, it's kind of like when we talked when Cody Bellinger came off the injured list. The difference between Cody and, say, Luke Rayleigh isn't so much that Cody's going to come in and light the world on fire. He hasn't. But knowing that it could happen, that he could come through, whereas with Rayleigh, it was like, okay, well, here's an out. And it's kind of the same with Mookie. Like, you know, he can do something. And I think this game on Wednesday was kind of a good microcosm of his season. He had a strikeout where he looked really bad late in the game. But he had, you know, the home run, which was awesome. That had a 900 expected batting average, 106.4 miles off the bat. He had a lineout that had a 500 expected batting average, 103.4 off the bat. And then he had 2 flyouts that both had, you know, one was a 110 expected batting average, one was 140. They were both in the low 90s. Like, it was like he's almost hitting the ball hard. And that's kind of what we've seen from him, where he will hit the ball hard sometimes, and sometimes he'll almost get it. And it's the fact that he's still often almost getting it that kind of keeps me hopeful, because how long can you be almost before you figure it out, you know? And so... and he did, you know, provide some value on defense on Wednesday. It didn't end up mattering, but getting to that ball down the right field line, getting a strong throw in, it kind of reminded me of the game in the 2018 ALCS when he was on the Red Sox. And I think it was Tony Kemp hit a line drive down the right field line for the Astros, and Mookie went over and came up firing and threw Kemp out, trying to stretch it into a double. It was that kind of play. The only difference is Sandy Leone was smart enough to not try to stretch it into a double. And so that was kind of something that we haven't seen as much from Mookie this year, that sort of hustle, getting to the ball and making a great throw. So, you know, I'm still hopeful, and I think, you know, one of these days he's going to turn it on, and when he does, it won't surprise me. I'll say, okay, finally, Mookie's back, you know. And it can't just be one day, because there have been days this year when we've thought Mookie might be back, and then he wasn't. So it's going to need to be a week where we know he's back, but I still believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, the good part is that the Dodgers are where they're at without Mookie playing up to Mookie standards, and with a lot of other things. So that's the key sign. You got to imagine he'll get hot at some point, whether it's the rest of the season or at least a 1 month hot streak, whatever the case may be. So that's what I'm hoping for. He pops out a lot, and that's probably more annoying than strikeouts, just because there's no value in a pop out at all. There's no value in a strikeout, but at least I can understand that a little bit more. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm hopeful, definitely, just not as hopeful when he comes to the plate these days. But I'm ready for him to change my mind. All right, Jeff, coming up at the end, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. You know, like you said, early game today, hopefully they'll bounce back, salvage a win from the series, go home and sweep the D-backs and go into the All-Star break on a high note.
Yeah, that's what we need. That'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family to subscribe wherever they get their podcasts. And a reminder, we will be on Spotify Green Room following the Dodger game on Thursday. Kind of depends what time the game ends, but if it goes the way of the last two days, we'll definitely be on once the game ends. But we'll keep you informed on social media, where you can follow us, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK, or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you in a few hours.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what's the game plan for the Suns in Game 2 against the Bucks? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!